I always wonder what it's like, would have been like if we could get a DeLorean, make it go 88 miles an hour and go back into the past and go right to that time period of a few weeks before Jesus died and rose again. Because we have that Christian perspective of after the fact. But for the followers of Jesus, as they're building up into Easter, they have a whole different assumption of what's going to happen. They have these their own presuppositions. They're thinking, okay, Jesus is about to be the king. He's about to rule over everything. Israel's about to become its own nation. And I wonder what it was like for them as he's teaching some of the things that he's teaching them, as he's preparing them for what's to come, and wondering how they're processing it. Because I know after the fact they got it. They understood. But before the fact, I just wonder what they were thinking. Like when Jesus said this in Luke 19:10, I came to seek and save the lost. I wonder what they were thinking when he's teaching that to them live. They're like, am I lost? I'm not lost. I'm right with you, Jesus. You're about to be in charge. We're going after our buddies over here. They're the ones that are lost. I'm not lost. I don't need this. You're not talking to me clearly, Jesus. I wonder what they were thinking. Don't you hate it when you lose something? I remember when I was in junior high, my brother and I used to spend a lot of time in the summers hanging out with my grandparents. We'd go to Arkansas and spend the whole summer with them. And inevitably, there would be like practically every day, my grandpa would be working on something, and you'd be looking at him, and he'd be like, and we were like, what's wrong? He goes, I can't find my glasses. And most of the time, it's because they're sitting right on top of his head. Sometimes they were looking through his eyes. And I would sit there and think, you know, as a junior hire, that'll never happen to me. I will never allow that to happen. And then when I'm in my late 30s, I get a phone call. My wife calls. And she arrived at a destination somewhere, and she needed me to show up there to help her out. And so we're talking. She's like, I need you to come to this location. And I'm like, sure, I'll come. I'm getting ready to go. I got my keys. As soon as I find my phone, I will go and drive to where you are. She was silent. I'm like, no, I'm serious. I'm looking for my phone. She's like, blockhead. She didn't say that, but slight exaggeration. You're on it. Oh, well, let me find it first. We've been there. If my phone could talk, my phone would be like, I'm not lost. Duh. I'm right here with you. But Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And we're like, why? I have life pretty good. Now, I have my gripes and complaints. I don't like this political party or that political party. I don't like this or that. Or you know, I have some aches and pains I didn't used to have before. Or, you know, my children yesterday decided I was wearing a ball cap. And they're like, hey, Dad, there's some new gray showing up around the ball cap. I'm like, thank you for allowing me to now cancel Christmas for you. But we've all been there. We're like, life is pretty good. I have it pretty good. You do you. I'll do me. You go your path. I'll go my path. I mean, hey, life is pretty good. In fact, if I were to scale things out, I'm like, hey, my good seems to be doing a little better than the bad. Life is going great. And man, I'm a good person. Everything's going good. I don't expect anything to be bad. Life is great. But then we step back and we're like, well, who defines good? Who sets the standard of what is good? Who's the standard bearer? Is it me? Do I get to set what's good? Now my kids feel that way. But do I set the standard of what's good? Is it society? Do they set the standard of what's good? We're like, oh goodness, no, because we're like, they can't make up their mind what's good and what's bad anymore. Just in our lifetimes, we're like, well, this was good and now it's bad, and that was bad and now this is good, and we don't know. Is it society? Is it an ancient religious text? What defines what is good? Well, what about when my thinking evolves? How do I handle all this? And we get confused. We're like, what is going on? We're like, wait, am I lost? I don't know. Are you lost? Clearly. I'm not lost. Like, what is going on? But the reality is it's God who is always the same who sets the standards. So God is love, but sin separates. The reality is, my goodness is not good enough, but Jesus' goodness is more than enough. But a lot of times I live in that place of being like, well, it's all about my goodness. I'm good. I'm a good person. But I'm lost. I might be good. But am I lost? Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And here it is. He's coming in. I mean, his whole focus from day one is that very first Easter weekend. His whole focus is the cross. His entire ministry is gearing towards that one weekend, because that one weekend is history-changing for all of us. It's life-changing for all of us. And Jesus is looking to that moment. Salvation is ahead. Salvation is coming. I mean, if we think about this, if we were just to step through an overview of the Bible and think through just our Christian understanding of things, of how history goes, humanity chose to walk it away from God. God, we don't want to have anything to do with you. Adam and Eve just decided, hey, we're just going to go our own way. God, I realize you're making everything perfect. We have this imperfect place to live. We have it all great, but man, we kind of want to go our own way. We want to do our own thing. So they abandon God. They turn on God. And then it's progressively been degrading since that moment. They choose one act of disobedience and think how much it changed. Just in the next generation, one of their sons kills the other one. And then onward and onward through human history. And we're like, I'm a good person though, Mark. I have more good than bad. My good outweighs the bad. I'm a good guy. I'm a good gal. You can't be serious. But if we were to step back and do a self-examination just for a moment, think how quickly, maybe it's just me in my immaturity compared to all of you sanctified saints, but think about how quickly we can go from being godly to being sinful. How quickly we can do that. How quickly we can go from having the most powerful prayer times imaginable, where the presence of God is moving and lives are being changed and we're praying for people and we're just seeing breakthroughs happen in their lives and man, they leave and then it's like 20 minutes later, we just find ourselves gossiping. Did you ever notice that? Maybe that's just me. But how quickly we can go from godly to sinful. Because the reality is, my goodness is not good enough. But Jesus' goodness is more than enough. So here it is, humanity walks away from God. God's rightfully angry by that because he created us. He's rightfully angry. Paul wrote in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. I mean, God is rightfully angry. And we've been there before. If you grew up in a household, if you made your parents angry, it's not ever fun to be in that environment, is it? I mean, one time my brother and I were shopping with my mom and she's shopping, we're bored. So what do you do when you're bored? You just walk right beside your mom and just like, yes, mom, no, mom, yeah, everything you want, mom, we're right here. You want us to hold your bags for you? We'll do that. No. We went doing what you love to do when you're this tall and you're in a maze of clothing racks. We went exploring and hiding and we're in all the racks and it was fun until my mom found us. Then it was not fun. It was really not fun when we got home. Because when we got home, that meant consequences were coming. That meant our booties were going to be a little sore. So my brother and I, our solution is we're going into our room, and we had single beds on either wall, on either side. So he went under his bed, I went under mine, and we got as far against the wall as humanly possible, trying to become one with the wall. My mom's arm is reaching in there. Soon a wooden spoon is reaching in there. It was ineffective because we were against the wall. Until one little finger caught one little piece of clothing. And then it's like a sci-fi movie. No! As you're getting sucked out from under the bed. Now, that was just a child, my mom disciplining us because we were clearly in the wrong. But God rightfully angry with us for choosing to abandon him and choosing to go our own way and create a sin mess when God didn't have that as in his intent for us. But God, acting in love, acting in grace, acting in mercy, made a way for people to be reconciled to him, to be made right with him. Salvation is ahead. Jesus moving to that moment, walking, ready to go to the cross for us, ready to make a way for us to be made right with God. God rightfully angry at us, but in his love, choosing to do what he can to chase after us, to bring us to a point where we have the opportunity to be in right relationship with him. Romans 5:8, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Jumping the next verse, the verse later, verse 11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. That is God's love, grace, and mercy at play. We deserve wrath. And he chooses to respond in love. I need it. I need salvation, but it's my choice. One time a religious leader comes to meet with Jesus as Jesus has been around teaching, and Nicodemus meets with him late at night, and he has a bunch of questions for Jesus that he's just got to get clarification for because Jesus is starting to rock the boat of what they believed as Jews, and he's really, I need more information, Jesus. You've got to help me to understand all of this. And so they're having a conversation, and Jesus begins to bring up this idea of, hey, you cannot have a relationship with God unless you're saved. And so he says this in John 3:3, Jesus answered Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus, who is not out to destroy me, gives me the opportunity to have a never-ending relationship with God. A little bit later in that conversation, he says to Nicodemus, God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. God did not send his son into the world to condemn its people. He sent him to save them. No one who has faith in God's son will be condemned, but everyone who doesn't have faith in him has already been condemned for not having faith in God's only Son. It's my choice. God's way, my way. I choose the outcome. Just because I don't believe it does not excuse me from its reality. I mean, we could really just say, Jesus, you're my only hope. It's wishful but false thinking to sit there and think, well, in the end, doesn't everyone end up in heaven? In the end, I mean, there's lots of ways to God, and God cannot be so evil to keep people out. Man, we want that to be true, but that's not reality. Sin separates me from God. I want to say I'm good, but the bad overtakes the good so much that there's no way I could ever counteract it. So theologically, we know it this way about salvation. My only hope of redemption being the process which sinful humans are brought back from the bondage of sin into a relationship with God through grace by the payment of Jesus' death. My only hope of redemption is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How do I receive that salvation? Salvation is received through repentance towards God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. God, this is the direction I'm going. I'm going this way, but I'm turning 180 degrees, and now I am going this way. That used to be the direction. That used to be my way of life. Now I'm going this way. I'm following you. I'm walking with you. I call, Jesus answers. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I mean, salvation is free to me. It cost Jesus everything. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. How do I know? How do I know? Is it my church attendance? Am I saved because I come to church? No. How do I know? Well, inwardly, God's Spirit confirms it to our hearts. For the Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Inwardly, God's Holy Spirit goes to work. He's like, hey, you're a child of mine. You're my favorite. You belong to me. We just know that we know that we know something's happening inside of me. Jesus, I believe who you are. I've repented of my sins. I've given my life to you. And I know that I know that I know something inwardly speaks to me. But not only inwardly, because something also begins to work outwardly also. This outward evidence also begins to display itself over time so that others can see it. It's a life of righteousness and true holiness. I'm different now. I used to live this way. I used to think this way. I used to talk this way. I used to act this way. But now I'm slowly changing how I think, how I act, how I talk. Who I am is just different. And people begin to notice it. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Or this from Titus. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Jesus gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. It's this process of conversion. And it's the one thing that scares me as I'm around different people that claim to know Jesus, or really, more to me, claim to know about Jesus. Because they understand these details about Jesus. They understand the need to have him as their Lord and Savior. They understand that reality, but I don't know how much they live it out because this whole process of outwardly doesn't seem to change. They're just like they were before. But there needs to be this sense of conversion and becoming a new me. I mean, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it puts it this way. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. I'm different. And that needs to be a part of who we are. That we're different. That we're being changed, becoming more like Jesus, the one that saved us. Allowing our lives to be transformed and changed. And I know for many of us, this is all scriptures we've heard lots and lots and lots of times. But it's so important that we're reminded of those very simple theological truths. Because our mission is to reach a lost world that Jesus came to seek to save. And we need to know why. We need to remember why. Because they need Jesus. He's their only hope. Stand with me this morning. If you're here today and you just find yourself and you're just like, Mark, I'll just be honest. I'm really not close to Jesus. Know this. Jesus came to seek and save you. One way of putting it, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. It's not a matter of me having to run around. Jesus, where are you? Jesus, where are you? Jesus, are you over here? Jesus, are you over here? Where are you, Jesus? Jesus is like, no, I came out to seek and save you. I came to find you. So I'm so close to you. I'm right here. No running around. Where are you? No, it's right here. Let me in. I'll come in and hang out with you, and you can hang out with me. Relationship. Jesus wants that with us. I mean, if you're here today and you find yourself, I mean, I'm far from Jesus. I know all these truths, but I'm really far from Jesus. Then may I encourage you today? Pray, Jesus, please forgive me for all my sins. God, please forgive me for going my own way. Help me to follow you. Help me to walk with you. Help me to know you. And I am confident of this reality. You pray a prayer something like that in your own words. Jesus is very quick to start the process of relationship with you, of closeness with you, and of helping you to become the man or the woman that he wants you to be. But let's also remember that God has called us to reach people. Fourteen days from now is Easter. We have an opportunity, just what we can do, just to invite people to come. Hey, come Easter with me. Just come to church. I'll take you out to lunch afterwards if you don't have plans. Come hang out. We'll just spend some time together and learn more about Jesus. Might just be you have a conversation with somebody that you know. Could be somebody you barely know, or could somebody you know you've known forever. Just take time to sit down and have a conversation with them and just begin to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in ways to talk to them, talk to Jesus with them. Look for ways. Because Jesus is their only hope. They need Jesus just like we do. They might not believe yet, but they need Jesus. Let's do what we can to reach people for him. Take a moment, talk to God, pray. If you're far from Jesus, take a moment just to get close to him. Otherwise, think about people in your life that don't know Jesus yet. And take a moment, let's cry out their names to Jesus together. And then let's pray for divine appointments, that God would set up opportunities for us to interact with them, and that we would have the courage to step into those opportunities.